Well, that segues right into what the Holy Spirit told me to talk about today. So get your Bibles out. Oh, so let me ask you this question. Don't answer. Don't raise your hand. In fact, I don't want to look at you. What kind of ground are you? What kind of ground are you for your healing? Good question, huh? So, let's just talk about a few people in the Bible, shall we? Get your Bibles out. Let's go to Matthew 9. We're going to look at verse 27 and 28. Maybe 31. Are you with me? These are two blind men that were healed. Starting out, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to him, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows." But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in every place or in that country. So these two blind guys, they received very easily, didn't they? They went there, found him. He was in the house with some people. They made their way in there. And when he said, "Do you actually believe I'm able to do this?" They said, "Yeah." And he said, "So be it according to your faith." And they were instantly healed. Isn't that wonderful? That's good ground. That's a heart that is good ground. Well, I'm going to give some examples today. And we're going to look at what kind of ground different examples were in the Bible of people that got healings or had their prayers answered by the Lord. All right? So let's look at what kind of ground we might be in whatever it is. So everybody take a moment and think, what would you ask for of the Lord? If Jesus was physically in his physical body, anointed like in the Bible, and each one of you got to come up and ask him for something in your life to be healed, what would it be? Just think about it. All right? So let me pray. Father, I just thank you for the word. I thank you for every example that you have in the Bible, Lord. I thank you that, Lord, you have just put so many rich nuggets and examples in your word that if we would just dive into it and believe you, we can get the same results as these people that are written about. And I just thank you that you are no respecter of persons, that each one of us, Lord, can have as much as we can believe for from you. And I thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. So, today we're going to put it on the congregation and not on the minister, okay? That's our point of view today, okay? Because I'll tell you what, every one of us would love to find the Jesus in the flesh minister. You know, that when we walk up, there's no doubt in our heart Jesus can heal us. There's no doubt in our hearts Jesus can answer our prayer. There's no doubt Jesus can do it. And so sometimes we take the responsibility off of ourselves, and rightfully so in some situations, and put it on the minister, right? Because we think for some reason they have more favor with us, with Jesus. They have more anointing than I do with Jesus. They are more in the favor, maybe, of Jesus than I am. Or maybe they've been baptized in a larger portion of the Holy Spirit than maybe I've been baptized in. And so we have these subliminal thoughts, and maybe they're not even subliminal to some people, and we kind of hope that we can be the yielded vessel, and they can do it to me and get me healed. Okay? I'm kind of over-dramatizing it, but I want to let you know, nearly everyone wants that when it comes to their healing. Okay? It's just easier on me if you're anointed and you can do it to me. Then I can just go about my business. So let's kind of look at, from a congregation's point of view, of what these people and these examples, what were their points of view that they had when they came to Jesus, all right? So let's go ahead and look at a few. I just read Matthew 9 with you. Let's go over to Matthew 20, 30 through 34. Now, let's read the example, and then I want to ask a couple of questions. Ready? Matthew 20. Let me start in 29. Sorry, Emmy. I'm going to start in 29 and read all the way down to 34. Two blind men received their sight. Now, as they went out to Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, Jesus, Lord, Son of David." Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David." So Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Lord, that our sight, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. How many of you, don't raise your hands, don't give me any signals that this is you. How many of you are willing to get what you have to get from the Lord? Even if everybody's telling you to shut up, sit down, be quiet, that's not polite, that's not the way you're supposed to conduct yourself in church. Wait a minute, he's still preaching, don't interrupt him right now. There's certain decorums that you have to do in the church, and you're not paying attention. And these guys said, "I don't care what the rules are, I'm getting what I came here for." Right? Could it be possible that some of us are more obedient to the atmosphere of tradition and the rituals of the way we do things, and you're more submitted to that than getting what you need to get from God? It's a possibility. That's one attitude. They don't care what the rules are. They're going to do and get what they know God's able to give to them, and they received. How about this one? Mark 8, 22 through 26. Again, we're talking about blind men. Starting in verse 22. Then he came to Bethsaida and brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. I really wondered about that verse. I think Pastor Trey has touched on this also. But I thought, why did he lead him out of town? So just while you hold your finger there, go to Matthew 11, 21. It's just backwards a few pages. Keep your finger in the first place. This is twice. It's in Luke and in Matthew. And it says this. Where is it at? There it is. "Woe to you, courtesan. Woe to you, Bethsaida." And that's where this guy was at, in the city of Bethsaida. "For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you." Bethsaida was a hard-hearted city full of unbelief. And it was just steeped into most of the people in that city. And it was very difficult for Jesus to accomplish many things in that city because of the way the community was baptized into one kind of thinking. There was a rebel, however, in the Bible that came out of Bethsaida. You know who that was? Philip, the disciple. But going back, so he took the blind man out of, and led him by the hand out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes, just thinking of me right now, Pastor Trey was standing up here and started hawking a loogie. Say my ears couldn't hear, and he was going to spit in my ear. You know, a good old slobbery, drippy one. Not quite sure if I'm ready to receive. If I care about what people are thinking. If I'm more concerned with public point of view than having confidence in the man of God, that I will be healed here. This is the place I will be healed. And he put his hands on him and asked him if he saw anything. And he said, and he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Now, I don't know what they do in Jerusalem or Israel, but none of my trees walk. Not even one. They always are standing right where they're at. But I think what he meant was that they're just big and fuzzy, you know. They're just totally out of focus is probably what he meant when he said that. And so what did Jesus do? He prayed again. Because of the unbelief that was so in them. And we know that Jesus was super anointed. I mean, he probably had the physical anointing stronger than a lot of us might walk in. Even though we might have the same availability of it, I think that he was like manifesting it, as we know. You know, you can't have that much water run through the hose without something happening to the hose. And Jesus healed everybody. So, let's go on, shall we? There are some of us that are ready to be healed. Look at this guy in Mark 10, verse 46 through 52. This could be one of you guys. Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. I love that they name him Bartimaeus. You know, they even say his name. This guy was awesome. I love this guy. Ready? Now they came to Jericho. As when he went out of Jericho and his disciples, now they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of this other guy, Tim, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. When many warned him to be quiet, again, shut up, dude. Stop that. Quit being obnoxious. Quit amening all the time. Quit making so much noise. Don't you know he's teaching? And many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, I don't care, I'm going for it. Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. Now throwing aside his garment doesn't mean he stripped off his clothes. Beggars had beggar robes, so that everybody knew they were beggars. They had certain clothes in their little tin cup or their box They had their way. It was a normal thing. You know, it's like our homeless people. Anyway, so this guy, he threw off his clothes, his garment, and rose and came to Jesus. He was listen. This guy, it's like one of you all tossing your walker and coming up for prayer. I mean, you toss your walker out of here, your cane, whatever you're using to get around, and you throw it out of the room, say, I will not need it after this. And you walk up here to get your healing. I love this guy. He tossed it aside because he knew I was getting what I'm asking for. I got his attention. I got his attention. I'm going to get what I want. There's no doubt about it. And this guy tossed it aside, and look what happened. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received the sight and followed Jesus on the road. He was done being in that situation. He only needed an opportunity. That's all he needed, was one opportunity to know that I had God's attention. I had the healer's attention. And when he realized he had it, the old life is done. He was through being sick. He was through being a beggar. He was done. Didn't say God gave him a job. Said God healed him. This blind man was completely restored and followed Jesus. I love his attitude. Man, I love his attitude. God is so good. God is so good. I might stretch it out a little bit. But you don't have to believe you're entitled to be healed, to be healed. You don't have to even get God's attention to be healed. Do you know that God is so good, you can take your healing almost to the point of stealing it? You can take your healing whether you think you're entitled to it or not. Whoa, really? You mean if I got sin in my life, if I made a mistake, if I have somebody maybe I haven't forgiven? Yep. Doesn't matter what your situation is. You can take it. If you believe, you can. Let's see. There was a woman with an issue of blood in Mark 5, 25. We're going to read from 25 through 33. And put your finger there. Emmy, you're not going to be able to do this. But put your finger there and go to Luke 8, 40 also. So you're going to be in two spots because I want to go to both sides so we can see something here. All right? Look at this lady. I'm going to give some background. I know Pastor Trey has taught this, but it's still great. I can share it too, because I'm getting it out of the same book he got it out of. Amen? It's in your book too. Listen, this woman with the issue of blood spent all the money she had for years because of this disability. This disability was draining everything she had. She was wore out, tired of being sick. I mean, wore out, tired of being handicapped. Worn out, tired of not being able to fellowship with people in public because of her disability. She was finished being broken. Finished with it. So she hatched a plan that she was going to get her healing no matter what. Even if they throw me in jail, even if they stone me and kill me, whoa, wait a minute. What she was guilty of, having this issue of blood, she was not allowed to be in public. She couldn't go to the mall. She couldn't go to the gas station, although they used water to fill up their camels in those days. She couldn't go any place publicly when anybody else was around. That's a hard life to live in. And she was fed up with it. And she had heard that people who touch this guy get healed. She heard that in the hubbubs and around the corners. Guess what? She believed it. She was done being in her situation. I mean, fed up with it. So let's look what happens. Starting in Mark 25. Did I say Mark 25? Mark 5, 25. Sorry about that, guys. Mark 5, 25. And you've got your finger in the other side, too. In Luke chapter 8, I'll get my finger in it, too. Okay, Mark 5:25. Let's look at these two stories together because they both share a little bit of light on it. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. She felt it, right? She felt the power of God touch her in that very second. And Jesus, immediately knowing it in himself that power had gone out, he felt it too. He knew that power had gone out. He didn't know where it went or who it went into. He just knew it left. Somebody touched him. And she looked around, and he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. She was convicted. Look at what it says in this other one, though. So, verse 40. We're going to go through verse 48. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him. For when they were all waiting for him, and behold, there came a man. Okay, that's Jairus. Let me go down a little further. Sorry. Verse 43. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all of her living on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. She snuck up on the guy. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, everybody goes, "Not me, not me, not me, not me." It's like as if, you know, you got a plate full of cookies, and you go to the bathroom for a second, and the grandkids are all in the room, and you notice two of the cookies are gone, and you go, "Who took those cookies?" Every kid goes, "Not me, not me, not me." And you got to look for the little chocolate in the corner of their mouths, don't you, to see which one actually took it. Everybody denied it. No difference here. Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitude throngs and presses you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, because she knew she just stole it from him. She knew that she just stole her healing from God. Because she knew that if only I touch him, it's all it's going to take. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer." In other words, it's okay. "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Because of her faith, it made it okay. Because she knew that if she got it, if she can get there, if she can touch him, she knew she would have her healing. And she did. Her faith made her whole. Jesus didn't even know it was happening until it happened. You can get your healing from God whether you think God wants to give it to you or not. Let that sink in. Whether you think God wants you to have it or not, you can get your healing if you have faith to have it. Think about this, guys. Think about this. It is not dependent on Jesus. Think about this. Let's go on. Sometimes, we'll go ahead and go to Mark 6. Sometimes, we're so used to coming to healing school, seeing Minton, Pastor Trey, myself, whomever. You're so used to us that there's a chance that familiarity may diminish your perception of the anointing. Believe it or not, it happened in the Bible. It happened in the Bible. Go ahead and go to Mark. This happened to Jesus. Mark 6. There it is, Mark 6. Mark 6, verse 1. We're going to read 6, 1 through probably 6. And when he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him, and when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hand? Is this not Pastor Trey of High Point Church? And the son of whatever his parents' names are? You know, the ones we grew up with. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Jose, Judah, and Simon?" I know it's not Jose. "And are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." Familiarity. Familiarity. Sometimes you're so used to coming up here that your expectation level could be a little low. It's possible. Because it might not have happened last time they laid hands on me. It could be possible that you're expecting the vessel to be the one, rather than you being the vessel of reception. It's possible. It's possible. Let's go on a little further. I think that it's possible that, remember how I said that the woman with the issue of blood stole it from him? I think that if we believe strong enough, real enough, true enough, actually believe it, where no one is going to talk you out of it, no matter what they put you through, I think you'll have what you want. Isn't there a verse in the Bible that says, "Knock and keep on knocking"? Isn't there one of those verses? Isn't there one of those verses that says, ask and keep on asking? Seek and keep on seeking? Because it is the Lord's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, whatever it is you need from Him. But what's your point of view? Are you going to get it no matter what? Even if there's resistance? Are you going to believe the resistance is God withholding? Or are you going to believe the resistance is something that has to be moved out of the way because it's between me and what I want? This is up to you, not God. I believe there was a woman in the Bible that went before an unrighteous judge. And if I remember what I read, she was determined to get the judge to give her what she wanted. And he didn't care about her. He didn't care about anybody. He's the judge. It even says he didn't care. I mean, he was not a godly man who you can expect to be kind. No way. But you know what? Because she wore him down, he ruled a verdict in her favor to get her out of his face. Okay? That's what an ugly, ungodly person in authority would do. How much more would God, who loves you, be willing to give you what you want? Right? Let's look at this. Go with me to Matthew 15. We'll start in verse 7. I read it wrong. I wrote it wrong. Let me look this up real quick. I wrote it down wrong. Yeah, Matthew 15, 27. Okay. Yeah, let's start in verse 21. Sorry. Matthew 15, starting in verse 21. We're going to read through 28. Are you with me? Stay with me. Don't go ahead of me now. Those of you that read fast, don't read ahead of me. I don't want you to steal my thunder. Let me do a build-up, okay? All right. I can see everybody smiling who's a fast reader. What are you going to tell me now? All right? Then Jesus went out. I know it's grievous when you read really quick and you listen to somebody who falls all over themselves, misreads, has to go back. I know it's grievous, but thank God this is a grace church, isn't it? Thank God. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon, where Jesus said it's going to be better for these guys than it was at Chorazin or Bethsaida. Remember that? Or what was the other one? Capernaum. So he went to that place, which wasn't a very great place because he used it in comparison. He says, these guys are bad, but you're worse. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. What do you do when you ask God for help and for healing and he doesn't even acknowledge you? It's crickets. When you pray and go, Lord, my body, Lord, my flesh, Lord, my situation, and crickets, he ignores you. At least it sounds like it. It feels like it. What do you do? God won't hear my prayers. What do you do? I'm not asking, don't respond to me. Think in your heart. How do you handle it when you need something from God and it seems to everything inside of you, he's ignoring you? He isn't answering your prayer. It's not real. How do you handle it? So he ignored her. And he answered her not a word. Just kept on walking. How embarrassing is that? Then his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." In other words, she's not even supposed to be here. And here she is bothering us. She's a Canaan. She's from Canaan. Get her out of here. She doesn't even belong in this meeting. That's why Jesus snubbed her. She wasn't supposed to be there. But he answered and said, "Some came and urged him to say, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said," he's talking to her, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, this is not for you. You don't go to this church. You don't belong here. You're of that other religion. You're of that other stuff. You don't belong here. You can't expect God to heal you here. You're not even from here. You're one of those other kind of people that think they're Christians and they're not. You can't expect God to heal you. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he turns around and just bold-faced insults her right to her face. But he said to her, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Holy smokes! If God said that to you, what, do you think you're saved? What, do you think you're one of my special ones? What makes you deserve to be healed? If you perceive that God is doing that to you, how are you going to react? If you think God doesn't even think good thoughts about you right now, you're blowing it, too bad. You're making too many mistakes. You're not worthy right now because you got these issues. How do you handle it when you feel like you're garbage in the sight of God? This woman's awesome. She's just like Bartimaeus, man. She realized what was in front of her. She knew what was there. She knew what he could do. She heard what he was doing for other people. "I don't care what you think of me. I'm getting some of that." And this is what she said. And he said to her, and she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, before it was little dog. Now it's, "Oh, woman." She just touched his happy spot. "Great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you desire." He wasn't planning on doing it for her. She walked right up to him. He ignored her. He insulted her. He disdained her. He did everything he could without physically assaulting her to get rid of her. She didn't care what he thought. "I know what you're capable of, and I want some." Just like the guy who's banging on the door, "Open up and give me some bread." "It's not your bread, dude. This is my house. It's not your bread. It's my bread. I'm in bed with my kids." "I don't care. I got someone coming. I need some bread, and I know you got some. I want it. Get up." Who's the one? Who's the one that determines whether you get your healing? So, what's your attitude towards the whole thing? Really? "Oh, but my situation, It's different. It's harder. The doctors say. Lynn was willing. Can I use your name on record? Do I have your permission? Thank you. Lynn was willing to find out what she could do to get what she needed done in her body. And the Holy Spirit told her, get some exercise in your body. She had some mobility issues. She says, Lord, if you expect me to go jogging, it's not going to happen. But she found something she could do. And she did what she could do. And the Lord met her where she was at. Because she honestly did above what felt comfortable and made a way to do more. And the pain left. And I know you. Today, I believe, like I told her, I believe she can ride a marathon and never leave her living room on that bike. I believe she can build up her endurance to a place where she can ride a marathon because she has the vehicle now. She has the vehicle, and it's twofold. It'll help her in physical conditioning and in strengthening her body. And she's doing it. How about you? It would be nice if somebody here was so anointed that when you walked into the room, it was almost like a physical presence of God was laying on top of you from the anointing being in here so strong. Do you know where that anointing comes from when you walk into a room like that? It doesn't come from God out there floating down and putting pressure on us. It comes from, yes, many of you are touching your chest. It comes from you being the open door where God flows out of you. And as you do it, and you do it, and you do it, and I do it, and we do it, the glory and the presence. And the more we perceive the glory and the present, the more we yield to the glory and the presence. The more we yield to the glory and the presence, the more manifestation there is of the glory and the presence. The more we worship God in the glory of the presence, the more the presence gets thicker and the more we see stuff. But I want to let you know something. None of these people felt the presence of God. Not even one of them felt the presence of God. None of them said, whoa, I perceive that God is with you. None of them. They heard the stories. They believed what was going on. There was quite a hubbub going on in that place, in that whole region. And they went to get what's available to them. Are you willing to get rid of everything that you think, you feel, you've experienced in the past, every deficiency, and lay it aside and go get what is yours? And here's the trick on whether you'll do it or not. If you think, oh well, God has something to do with it, you'll go without. You will, I'm telling you, you will. Now let me say this. There are times when Jesus is so overwhelmingly kind that anybody will get healed at that moment. I mean, it's just like something's going on right now. But don't look for that as your vehicle. Enjoy it when it comes. I'll tell you, I don't expect chocolate cake at every meal. But when I get it, I love it. But I love it when it's rare. When it's too common, it's not that great anymore. Familiarity can breed contempt. Okay? I can disdain that chocolate cake if I get it every... I said, sweetheart, I love chocolate cake, but not every night. Right? Are you guys getting anything out of this? It's really important. I want to let you know that it doesn't matter who's quacking like a duck up here. What matters is that that goose lays golden eggs, baby. That's all that matters. Is God with them? Is God with you? And go get it. Really. You don't even need a person up here to get healed. Because you know why? You already know why. And when I tell you, go, oh yeah. Because Jesus is in me. Jesus is in you. Worship him wherever he is. And get your healing. Crickets. I hear crickets. Crickets. I hear crickets. If it's completely up to me to get my healing, then I had better get with the Holy Spirit and the Bible and find out what I need to do to get it. When you know it's on your shoulders to receive it from God, and you get yourself ready to get it, you'll get it. I promise you, you'll get it. You will get it. But if you are willing to live with the pain, with the disability, with whatever the situation is, if you can tolerate it, you will. And I'm sorry, but it's true. If there's a deficiency in your life in any area, as long as you let it be there, it will be there. And here's the problem with that. If you let your flesh have its way, it will always want more.